You're on The Burt Show.
All right, so here it is. This is the wedding planner. She's done like 80 weddings. And she says it's consistent now. You know, now she's got enough weddings behind her, and she's seen some of the successes and some of the failures of weddings that she's planned for. And she says there are five different stages in wedding planning. And if these aren't going well with the couple, then the couple is doomed.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
See if these ring true or not.
I wonder if this she feels an obligation now when she sees the trouble in the stages she's talking about, whether if she says anything to them or not. You know, don't waste your money.
Right.
I mean, I know I'm getting paid here, but don't waste your money because you ain't going
to
make it.
I wonder if a wedding planner has ever said that to somebody. Nah.
Oh.
This is not going to work.
Yeah, I don't want to be a part of this.
All right, so see if this works for you guys. 404-741-Q100. She says, one, the bride refuses to let the groom choose the cake.
The groom's cake or the whole cake?
The bride refuses to let the groom choose the cake, and here's why she says why. When I encounter a woman who refuses to relinquish any control to her fiancé, it doesn't bode well. I can think of a few instances in which the woman ruled the event with an iron fist, and the couple ended up in divorce court a few years later. Basically, they weren't able to make decisions together. So I think the headline is a little deceiving. What they're saying is when the bride takes over, she doesn't listen to the husband or the future husband at all, won't take his input, she's running with everything. There's a real control issue there.
Especially if he wants to participate. Because I think a lot of times guys don't care. Mm-hmm. They're like, whatever, honey, get whatever cake you want. Go order whatever you want. I'll just show up and be in my tux.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, but I think if the guy wants to participate and he has an opinion and she's not listening to it, then I agree. But, I mean, did you care what kind of cake you had?
I didn't. I was one of those guys that said, Stace, you know, will you marry me? She said yes, and then I just sort of moved aside.
You were like, whatever.
Not but, only with the planning of the wedding, but our whole marriage.
But if you wanted to be, you know, if it was really important to you to, you know, serve some sort of food that you loved or have something be a part of it, and she was like, no, that doesn't fit my color theme or whatever, then I could see that being a huge problem.
If it's too important and she doesn't let you participate, that's a big red flag.
Mm-hmm.
All right, headline number two, the groom lets his mom call the shots.
Mm. Oh.
She says, most of my brides involve their moms in the planning process, and why wouldn't they? It's like having a second planner for free. But sometimes groom's mothers try to muscle in too, which is something I'll never understand. Not only is it inappropriate, but it's up to her son to tell her that.
What if it, I mean, but what if she doesn't have any daughters? Do you think there's a case where she just wants to plan, she wants to be a part of a wedding, and since all she has is a son, that's why she does it?
I think you have to look at it generally rather than specifically.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what that means about, like, what does that say about him?
If mama's
he lets,
boy.
If he lets his mother be involved and take over and take charge.
Yeah, mama's boy.
Like he doesn't have a backbone
even,
or he can't tell her no.
Can it even
or,
be said if his mother is involved?
No, I think the mothers like, can be involved, involved a little bit. I mean, you want them to care about it.
Yeah.
Not in making decisions, but...
If he brings his mom to the cake tasting.
No.
No.
If he brings his mom to the tux... rental.
Well,
joint.
If he does that, he's all. I mean, the bride already knows how much of a mama's boy he is. You know what I mean? Like by that point, as the bride, don't you already know?
Well, maybe in a case like this, it's a sure example that he can't make any big decisions without his parents' input.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that's what she's trying to say.
Without mom being there,
mm-hmm. or being involved somehow. Number three, the headline is the bride blows half the budget on her dress. Weddings are pricier than ever, and money-related issues can cause a lot of undue tension. So when a bride goes behind her groom's back and splurges on a big-name dress or expensive flower arrangements, I start to get nervous. It's a huge sign. Now, this one is bolded, so you know it's important.
It actually means you have to shout it.
You have to. But it's not capitalized, though.
Oh, then you're fine. Just, yeah.
I could use a different voice for
just
bold.
Say it, okay. Say it strongly.
It's a huge sign that she doesn't respect him and refuses to compromise. And trust me, those tendencies don't disappear after she walks down the aisle. That's my bold voice.
I didn't know. I didn't realize bold meant sinus infection.
Yeah, I would agree with that one, too.
She says, I've worked with tons of couples who fought viciously over the wedding budget and learned later that many of them continued to argue and eventually split. To me, the key there is that the groom doesn't know how much she's spending on the wedding dress. And what she says is she goes around his back and buys a designer dress. Mm-hmm. And he really doesn't know how much she's spending on it.
I know. Mm-hmm. I know a marriage where that kind of happened is that marriage is coming together. There was a lot of drama during the planning stages over expense, And she started doing that. Like, and just randomly he would, you know, like get like a letter in the mail or something that says, hey, you know, blah, blah, blah. Here's, you know, your cake has been reserved and the confirmation. And a copy of your invoice is attached, even though it's paid in full. And he's like, what?
Huh?
$2,500 cake? Or, well, I don't know how much it is, but ridiculously high cake price? Mm-hmm. That's italics, by the way.
We got two more to go, but Charlie wants in on this.
Okay.
Hey, Charlie, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
You tell us.
Love the show, first of all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Me and my new wife, we just got married 2 days ago. We're actually driving in the car to the airport to leave for the honeymoon.
Why are you listening to this segment?
Congratulations.
Turn us off for a couple of minutes.
We listen to you every day, every morning on the way to work.
Well, first of all, what's your names so we can congratulate you?
Charlie and Amanda.
Congratulations. Does it sound like it's going to last?
Yeah. Why isn't it going to make it?
No, it is.
Okay.
But what on
the,
this?
The comment about the mother was dead on, though. Amanda and my mom were, like, best friends. They got along really, really well. My mom really loves Amanda. And towards the end of the planning, she's actually almost planning a second wedding for us. For when we get back. And so she was super, super involved, and it kind of just got to the point where we quit answering the phone.
Oof.
Because we just didn't want to deal with the stress.
So what you're saying is, in this case, on this wedding planner, she's saying that if you allowed your mom to get away with all that, then your relationship is going to, that's a big red flag, but you put your foot down and said, Mom,
yeah.
Uh-uh.
But you said that she's planning a second wedding for when you come back?
Yeah.
Whoa.
So is this like a competition between Amanda and your mom?
There has to be a competition between you and my mom.
And that would be yes.
I think it's more of, there's a lot of people that she wanted to invite that couldn't make it, so she wanted to plan a whole another like thing. Another shindig.
What's Amanda think about all that?
I don't know. Do you want to ask her?
Sure.
Yep.
Hello.
Hey, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Good.
Your mother-in-law's kind of a witch, huh?
No, I wouldn't say a witch. She just was super involved. She's really caring and wanted to show her love by helping, and it was just
too much. Is that what she said to you? I just want to show you my love, and you don't appreciate what I'm trying to do.
What if we weren't the bird show, and your new husband wasn't sitting right next to you? We were girlfriends, and there's two empty bottles of wine on the table.
She's not gonna say that.
Is this second wedding? Is this that your mother-in-law is planning? Is this a little offensive to you?
No. I mean, it started off being, you know, just a little get together with friends, and all of a sudden there was a DJ and a second wedding cake and all these other things, and I was like, oh my gosh, what? 100 something people.
Well, is it because her guest list was really, really long and you had to cut them out?
I mean, she's been at this church for 20 years, so she has to invite the entire church and her entire company because she's pretty high up. So there was a lot of people she had to invite.
I know you can't say it because you just got married and all, but I think we're feeling it.
Did she expect you to wear your wedding dress?
I think she did, but I nixed that one. I was like, no, not again.
Wow. Good for you.
That's good. Yeah.
Oh, well, congratulations.
Yes, go enjoy your honeymoon.
Thank you.
Where are you guys going?
Jamaica.
Good for
nice.
You.
Wow. Relax.
Have fun.
Have a great time.
Thank
don't
you.
Don't think about mom.
Yeah, don't until you get back.
Yeah, that's right. I'm sure when you have kids, it's not, she's going to ease up.
Come on now. They just got married.
Oh, sorry.
Number four, the bride freaks out over the groom's bachelor party is another big time red flag that the marriage isn't going to make it. She says, I've seen some women wig out about the possibility of her guy having a boys' night out at a strip club. One client of mine even threatened to leave her fiancé if he had a bachelor party. My motto is, if you can't trust him, why the hell are you walking down the aisle?
Mm-hmm. I agree with that one.
I do too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, guys can have their one fun night until it's all over with. Don't be jealous for one night. Give them their night.
And the fifth one is, the bride and groom fight in front of the wedding planner.
Mm.
Says no matter how in love two people may be, planning a ceremony and reception is overwhelming and will no doubt cause a few tiffs, but warning bells immediately start ringing for me if the couple gets really heated with each other in my presence. Mm-hmm. Arguments are private, and dragging me into them shows that there is a lack of respect for each other and for their bond.
I could agree with that one.
Yeah. Yeah, if you're going to have a full-on argument in front of a stranger.
Yeah.
Good morning, Wendy. You're on Q100.
Uncomfortable.
Hi, love your show.
Thank you.
Yes. I just wanted to say I'm getting married next summer, mm-hmm. and I think that if my fiance's mom, she offered to pay for part of our wedding, so I'm letting her be involved in everything.
Okay. And you feel like an obligation to because she got her checkbook out.
Well, no, not an obligation. I mean, like, he's an only child, so this is the only wedding she'll get to do. And she and I have a really good relationship. So, I mean, like, I've invited her to my dress fittings and everything.
How long ago did you get engaged?
We were engaged in April, but we've been dating for almost 9 years.
And then you're getting married next summer?
Yes.
So we should talk to you next spring and see if you feel the same way about your soon-to-be mother-in-law. You still got a long way to go, honey.
There's a fine line there. There's a real fine line. There's a whole bunch of calls coming in about the mom thing. That seems to be the hot button. Hey, Courtney, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning, guys.
Good morning.
I love your show.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yeah, I just wanted to comment in regards to the groom's mom having any input, and I've been married for about 3 years, but I would say that they should have no input. The only thing they need to have input on is probably the rehearsal dinner.
Because that's the traditional groom's side
family.
Of the family party, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right, because the bride's mom or bride's parents are usually the ones that are paying for the reception and everything. But I would say that groom's mom should have no input at all.
Yeah, this is the one that seems to be bothering everybody. The groom lets his mom call the shots. Most of my brides involve their moms in the planning process, and why wouldn't they? It's like having a second planner for free. But sometimes groom's mothers try to muscle in too, which is something I've never understood. Not only is it inappropriate, but it's up to her son to tell her that.
Well, and I think it's a red flag because the mother-in-law obviously doesn't know boundaries within the parameters of the wedding and the roles in the wedding as well as in the roles of their lives. So, I mean, we kind of breezed over it, but I still think that her planning a whole wedding when they get back, sorry if you're still listening, turn off the radio, but I mean, planning a whole wedding when they get back with cake and everything, I want her to wear the dress.
Mm-hmm. It's a little bit too much. It's not about them. It's all about mom, which could be problems in the future, but maybe not. At least due to standing up.
Yeah,
at least Charlie's like, no
more. Yeah. But it's just the stress of having to deal with it.
So for the most part, it looks fairly accurate, right? Is that what you guys are saying?
I think so. I definitely agree with the bachelor party one because you just got to be trustworthy and let it go and realize that whatever goes on is going to go on whether you get jealous and upset about it or not.
And I agree with the arguing.
What were the other ones?
I agree with the arguing in front of the wedding planner. Because if you can do it in front of a complete stranger, there's no hope.
The bride blows half the budget on the dress.
Or I think any secretive purchases.
Yes. Already? Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed.
Bride refuses to let the groom choose the cake or get involved in the wedding at any time. And the groom lets his mom call all the shots.
You're on The Burt Show.
So I read this statistic the other day that I was so surprised by that I wanted to pass along to you to see if what scenario this would be in. Because the trivia was that 800 people within the next 7 days are going to go to the hospital with injuries due to jewelry.
Jewelry?
800 people a week?
And 800 people a week due to jewelry.
Jewelry?
And I'm like, jewelry accidents.
What, so that'd be like what? Like trying to put your earring in and missing the hole?
Or an earring being ripped out, or maybe a necklace?
Punched by a ring? I know a lot of my friends that have children take off their wedding rings because they'll scratch their babies with their diamonds, like on accident, you know, where they're changing diapers or whatever. So they'll just take it off while they've got little ones.
404-741-Q100. You said
that's a lot of people.
Emergency room.
800 people in a matter of a week go to the hospital because of injuries due to jewelry.
That's bizarre.
And I think I laughed out loud when I read it. Like, really?
I mean, you guys wear obviously more jewelry than Jeff and I. Barely. So have you ever...
You guys do accessorize very well.
Yes, y'all do.
Well, I did have that. You guys remember? Because Wendy, you had to drive me to Northside because I couldn't see. Remember, I bumped into Mark LaMuth in the hall?
He's well accessorized.
Well,
he's got 10 fingers and 12 rings on. And I bumped
Could happen to guys also.
And I bumped right into him. Wendy, actually, my eyes were swollen shut. She put me in the trunk of her car.
I'm just curious, how many pieces of jewelry do you have on right now?
I only have four. So two earrings, a bracelet, and a necklace today.
How many do you have, Jen?
I have on a ring and a pair of earrings and a necklace.
I don't have any jewelry on right now. I have a rubber band.
I've got as many pieces on as the girls in the studio. I've got the beads.
But of course you do.
I've got the Hayden band. I've got the watch. And I've got my wedding ring.
And your little Prince Albert thing.
Oh.
That's not really a piece of jewelry. And you're the only one that knows about that.
What is that?
Really?
Don't ask.
Oh, that's what that is?
Mm-hmm.
You didn't know that?
You didn't know that?
Really?
That's
yeah.
what it's called?
How do I yes. know that?
How do you not know that?
I didn't know that.
Really? How did Wendy know that and you didn't?
I've never heard that before in my life.
How does Melissa know that?
It's called a Prince Albert?
Yes.
When you pierce your hoo-hoo?
Yeah.
Yes. What?
How did you not
when a guy
know
that?
I did not know
yeah.
that.
When a guy
Why is it called that?
Jeff?
Apparently the first guy who did it.
His
was
name
Albert.
Albert.
And when he when it happened to him, he turned the color of royal purple. So they decided to call him Prince Albert.
In a case like that, I do think of the first person that, because there had to be a first.
Oh, yeah.
To try it.
Yeah.
Isn't there like a royal from Monaco? Isn't Prince, then there a Prince Albert currently?
That's an unfortunate name.
He gets a lot of crap.
Do women have a princess name for that?
I don't know.
Oh, Alicia.
Sorry, I digress.
Princess Alicia.
But, wow, I am
I think Princess Grace.
I think it's a Princess Jasmine from Aladdin.
Oh, dude.
Why you make something so beautiful?
You always go the pedophilia route.
Will you
She's an adult.
Will you Creepy. Wikipedia that? I am curious now why it's called that.
What exactly do I type in?
Look, based on what's on your computer
yeah,
already,
I'm
this
not
is
scary.
Yeah.
yeah. There's pop-ups all the time on that laptop.
Piercing.
Go ahead, Ashley. You're on Q100.
Hey, I work at the front desk at a hospital, and the most story things that we saw were people coming in with infections from getting piercings and things like that. They would get infected and let it go too long.
Okay. That makes sense.
All right, we'll check that one off. That one makes sense right there. Thank you. Good morning, Jenny. You were on Q100. According to Melissa Carter, 800 people a week end up in the emergency room due to jewelry injuries.
Hello?
That was such a good setup.
I know.
And now Jenny's going to tell us what happened to her.
Jenny,
That's
you are
right,
not
Jenny.
Being a very good radio personality right now.
Hi.
Hi.
Hey.
My uncle actually works with cement trucks that pop cement into places. And he was up on the ladder, and actually the ladder slid, and his ring got caught up on something up there.
Hey,
and it actually ripped his fingers off.
Okay.
Oh, God!
That'll send you to the emergency room.
Good, thanks.
Okay, that's one.
That's pretty solid.
That one's that's pretty solid. That's legit.
I think I'd go to the emergency room.
Hey, Kathy, good morning.
Hi, good morning, Burt Show.
Good morning, Kathy.
Hi, my son is actually a ring fanatic, and he kept buying these rings without my knowing it, and we actually ended up in the ER twice. He had to have rings on off, like one from the toy machines, and then he had an actual ring that we had to go to the ER and they had to cut through. It was like titanium, so his finger had swollen up around it, so we actually had to get that.
So he so it's too small and he couldn't get it off.
Yeah.
How old is he?
He's 11.
Oh, buddy.
No. You know, I think it's really interesting that most of the calls that are coming in are for dudes that jacked up their jewelry.
That's funny.
And not women. Because we don't know what we're doing.
You don't have as much practice with it.
You know what makes me cringe?
Besides Prince Albert?
It's a Chris Farley movie where Chris Farley rips out a guy's
nipple ring.
Hey.
Little easy.
Ouch. Good morning, Courtney. You're on Q100.
Hey, I love the Burt Show. I love you
guys.
Thank you.
When I was 12, I had braces, and me and my sister were playing around, and I bit her finger. She had a heart-shaped ring on, and it got stuck in my braces, and she pulled, and it pulled my brackets off of my two front teeth and the wire, like, halfway out of my mouth. I had to go to the hospital. Worst pain I've ever had in my life. They gave me more pain, nothing else.
Why do we think this is going to be a fun topic?
I didn't think it would be this painful.
I got to tell you, I never thought the phrase "pulled my brackets off" would make me cagle. Like, I actually, every muscle in my body tensed up. He pulled my brackets off! Oh, my God!
Hey, Angela.
I'm sweating.
Good morning.
Good morning, Burt Show.
Good morning.
I feel I know Bert a little bit better this morning after the whole Prince Albert thing.
I don't have one. He was joking.
Now that is a rumor to start.
Believe you me, I do not want any more attention in that area than need be.
We're going to get Stacy to start telling people that.
Right.
You had one, but you took it out. You decided that you hit a certain age and you just
don't listen to him.
A little chain going from his belly button ring right down to it.
What's going on?
Come
Angela?
On. Come on. It's jacked up. I'm not a visual. I want to even think
people
about.
Will believe that. You know how many emails I will get today?
But the people in his water aerobics class really were uncomfortable with it.
What's going on, Angela?
Well, my emergency room story, when I was little, about 7 or 8 years old, I was always afraid my earrings were going to fall out, that they were too loose, so I would put the backs on really tight, mm-hmm. and one of my backs wedged its way into the back of my ear.
Wow.
That won't feel good.
Damn.
It sounds worse than it is, but yeah, that's what happened.
Yeesh.
Here's one. This one's just for Jeff. Good morning, Gavin. You're on Q100.
Hey, how's it going?
Okay,
hey.
Man.
Hey, yeah, my friend, we were playing rugby from Australia originally, and his nipple ring got ripped out. He used to tape him down, but it didn't help too much.
Okay, that wasn't pretty.
Can we be done?
Yeah, I think I'm pretty solid with this one.
We all satiated. We all give it that. Okay.
Nobody just saw me rub my nipples, did they?
Oh, no. I've been holding mine.
Anything good? I can do to make your butt pucker.
Thanks,
Melissa. You're a real champ.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Twice now over the last 3 weeks, I have seen either TV shows or movies where this scenario happens. Where a woman hooks up with a dude that she normally wouldn't hook up with or is hooking up with him for the very first time. And he's crashed out in bed next to her. And she wakes up early. And before he gets up, while he's still crashed out in sleep, she lifts the sheet up on the bed and then looks down at him to see how well he's built while he's sleeping.
While he's sleeping?
Yeah. I guess she's gauging the size of his while he's sleeping. I saw it the other night in True Blood, and I saw it again in the movie, I think it was The Hangover, a couple of weeks ago also. And I'm just really curious if women do that.
Actually check while you're sleeping?
While a dude
Melissa,
is sleeping.
Didn't you already know if the dude was sleeping naked next to you?
That's what didn't make any sense to me also.
I was
going to
say, if he's naked next to you, then
you already have checked that out. You've at least done a drive-by.
Not if you're drunk before, the night before.
Yeah, but why would he end up naked, though?
Well, they've done
That's what I'm saying.
I mean, they've done it. But now my assumption is the next morning, she's checking to see what it looks like in a more natural state than in its playing
Or maybe she's unsure of what happened the night before. Like, all the details are foggy. Like, I can't really remember what happened and then looks.
404-741-Q100. It didn't make a whole bunch of sense to me. But like I said, I've seen it twice in the last couple of weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just curious if that's a real life thing or that doesn't happen at all.
I mean, I don't know. I figure if you've already slept together, wouldn't you kind of know?
I'm trying to
figure out the scenario.
The night before, you're drunk, you do it, hammered, don't have a full recollection of every detail of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the big things, literally and figuratively, you know what I'm saying? But you might not remember or recollect like that. So you take a peek and go,
In that scenario, to interrupt, I'm sorry, but I would say yes, because if you're going to tell the story to your girlfriend, you got to be able to tell the whole story, so...
And,
I would assume women would look to be able to say, "Oh yeah, okay, that's what I had."
And is it checking to see if he's naked to see what happened?
Because maybe she wasn't sure. In both of these scenarios that I saw in the movies, they both were very well aware of what happened the night before. But I think the assumption was they were just checking to see what it looks like in more of its natural state,
or in the light instead of the darkness.
But they were still underneath. It was still underneath the sheet. I mean, they didn't go all the way with it. Just a little peeksy, just to see what it was all about.
Hell no.
You'd think they'd know.
Caroline, good morning.
Q100. Hey, morning.
Hi.
Yeah, I have to say I've lifted the sheet before.
You have.
Just to, you know, like you said, let's see what's was going on down there, and maybe a little trophy just to take a peek after the whole event. And like you say, there was probably some alcohol involved. So, you know, while they're sleeping and quiet, just a little peeky peek.
So really what you're doing is you're seeing laugh. It more, uh-huh. and it's you just want to make sure that it matched up to the what happened the night before.
Or not. Yeah, exactly.
Or not.
That could okay. be sheer disappointment. If you did it the night before, and then you look and you're like, oh, that sucks.
I mean,
that's why
matter?
I didn't remember.
Like, if the night before you had a really great time, right, and you couldn't quite gauge from that, would it matter the next morning what it looked like in its
yes.
natural state, even if you had a great time the night before?
Well, you don't remember your great time. I mean, you're just having a good time in the moment, but then you look the next morning and you're like, whoa, that really sucks. I can't tell you, because you can't tell your girlfriends about that. That's like not a bragging right.
Mm-hmm.
You can't.
What do you mean? So if you get so drunk that you don't remember having that one night stand, then there's no bragging rights to that whatsoever, so you at least need to...
He's not well endowed.
So you just
you erase that.
So you don't tell your girl count. You don't tell your girlfriends about guys who aren't good. If you have a one night stand with a guy and he's not good, you don't tell your girlfriends about it.
No, you really don't. I keep it secret.
I think that women because the women's number is very important. So if it wasn't worth putting that slash mark on your wall, then you just whatever it didn't work.
You don't tell your friends at all.
You don't.
Katie, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you guys?
Good.
Good.
Honestly, did you take a peek?
You're a sheet lifter.
Yeah, I just want, I just figure, if you don't remember, you want to remember what it looked like, after, just to see, how big it was.
But you just had, this great experience the night before. Why do you need the visual?
Well, she said she doesn't remember.
You just want to look. Okay. Last peek.
And he's crashed out, and he never notices that you take a look or not.
No, I mean, you don't do it all the time. I'm just saying, the ones that are worth checking out.
Okay. Thank you. And Jennifer, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sometimes this show is quite an education for guys. It really is. I had no idea. And when you're watching a TV show or movies, you don't know what's real and what's not. But I've seen this enough to go, I got to ask this question. So did it happen to you too?
Actually, it did. I went out with a bunch of girlfriends, and we decided that this one guy happened to be quite well endowed, and one of us was going to take him home. Well, I ended up taking him home, and I was drunk and don't remember. And the next morning, both my girlfriends called me, and they were like, you have to look, and you have to use a ruler.
Why
do you use a ruler?
Because they wanted me to measure. So needless to say, I got out the ruler.
You have a ruler?
Yeah.
You just carry one around in your purse?
Like a tape measure, I'm assuming, right?
Like a tape measure. Yeah, like a tape measure.
Oh,
and
God.
No, actually, I don't because, again, needless to say, I was at my house. So it was easy to grab one. But we used a tape measure, and they laughed about it for days on end.
So he's sleeping and has no idea that you've got a tape measure on him?
Has no clue. And what's really funny is was my boyfriend for almost 5.5 years.
Oh, that's funny.
Oh, really?
Oh, well, then it must have measured up right.
I guess.
Yeah. Oh, no, perfect. Perfect. But he still, to this day, has no idea that two of my girlfriends know exactly how well it's out here.
That's why I only hook up in Europe, because they use the metric system, and it just sounds more impressive.
The numbers are larger.
If I'm having a one-night stand, I'm doing it, in Germany.
Every time I see a woman with a tape measure, if you see a tape measure, it's like, have you measured a penis with that? And how many women would say yes? Probably all of them.
Well, I don't know how you could break one of those out while a dude is sleeping, because generally they're made of that steel material, and as soon as you take it out of the container...
Some of them are like...
Are you talking about the ones that you would measure an inseam with that are soft?
Yeah, some of them.
I'm thinking like a construction one. It's all steel.
You'll wake them right up. Those old school ones that unfold, the old carpenter ones.
This is The Bert Show.
I want to play a couple of things for you late Bert Show listeners. We played this yesterday. I don't know if you heard this last week, but Glenn Beck, conservative talker, just flipped out on one of his callers last week. I mean, he had a breakdown.
I don't ever listen to him, but Jeff, you said he's normally combative, but he goes over the top on this one?
Well, you'll hear in this, he gets a little... And Bert said it perfectly, because you hear him get high-pitched. So he's definitely passionate during his debates and passionate with his callers. And I think what probably happened is this high-pitched sentence came out. I mean, he's entertaining to watch. It's like Michael Savage. He's a lunatic. So what makes him fun to to watch. But his friends are going to give him a lot of grief for this one line in here.
It's about a minute and 20 second clip, and the good stuff happens in the last 30 seconds.
Okay.
But then we will play the follow up because somebody made his freak out, his breakdown into a remix. That's about a minute long, which is really funny to listen to. But this is last week on his show, and he has one of his listeners call up that wants to talk about universal health care.
How about France and Italy, where you just go in and sign a paper?
You're right.
And the doctors don't have to fight with the insurance companies.
Tell me, Kathy, about the insurance program that they do have in France. Tell me about it.
There are people that go over there, and they are on vacation. If they have a problem, all they have to do is walk into the clinics or the hospitals and sign their name. The doctors do not have to be bothered signing insurance forms.
So in other words, a person... Hang on, I want to make sure I understand. So a non-citizen can go over to a hospital and walk in and get emergency treatment. That never happens here.
Okay, the crazy plane now is starting to taxi.
I'm giving you a logical answer.
You don't have logic.
Oh, boy.
You're right.
Where's your logic? What would you do? I'm
check lights.
Tray tables on. Sit both on.
Change this health care system for the better. After all, every time you people bring up costs,
you
don't care about the trillions of dollars to bail out the banks and all the credit card companies.
Kathy, get off my phone!
Oh, boy.
Get off my phone, you little pinhead!
Pinhead.
I don't care. You people don't care about the trillions. Get off my phone! I'm going to lose my mind today.
Already done.
Wow.
All right, that was fun part one, but it gets way better than this.
Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead! Get off my phone! I don't care. You people don't care about the trillions. Get off my phone! Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead! Get off my phone! Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead! Get off my phone! Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead!
He needs to be...
Get off my phone!
The villain on a Disney
Get
movie.
Get off my phone, you little pinhead!
Doesn't he sound like
I'm
the villain?
Lose my mind.
He didn't know he was trying out, auditioning.
He was.
I'm going to lose my mind today. I don't care. You people don't care about the trillions. Get off my phone! Get off my phone! Get off my phone, you little pinhead! I'm gonna lose my mind today. I'm gonna lose my mind today. Get off my phone!
Nuke has got to use that.
Oh, yes.
He's doing his club thing.
Get some glow
break that thing out there.
Let's go.
All right, so that was from yesterday, and this was from this morning on the Today Show, where you're not going to believe this is real. And this is not the only case where this has happened, but a woman, I guess based on the recession, decided that she would try to perform her own plastic surgery.
Oh, my.
It's not on an ankle. It's not on a bicep. Not on a forearm. She decided to do plastic surgery on herself, on her face.
Why?
And injected stuff in her lips also.
God, I never have heard of that. Never even thought that somebody would think of that.
And it didn't go well. Didn't go real well at all. But, I mean, you'll hear towards the end of this piece, it's only about a minute long, she's not the only one. Not by a long shot. One woman put, like, a half a pound of... What was it? Cooking oil.
That's so stupid.
In her own face.
She was like, butter, margarine, parquet. I don't know. Let's just inject it.
Dumbass.
It all started with a tiny facial scar she wanted to get rid of, but she couldn't afford a plastic surgeon. So she literally took matters into her own hands, or in this case, a needle and silicone. And she decided while she was at it, she might as well plump up her lips, too.
One word that sums it up is a nightmare. I wouldn't wish this on anybody.
I can't believe that I did what I did.
I told these guys earlier this morning, too, another sidebar funny part of this whole thing is that they had the Today Show alter her voice so it's higher. But they don't do anything to her face on TV. I mean, it's in its natural state. So she must have said, yeah, I'll agree to it, but you have to alter my voice so people don't know who I am.
What?
Bizarre, huh?
Maybe she figures her face is so messed up nobody recognizes her.
Felt pretty proud of myself. I thought, you know, this was a cheap way to go. It looks good. This one particular website had it for $10 for a bottle. By the following day, it was just completely inflamed, my whole face. It just looked like horrible blisters.
With all due respect, what were you thinking?
The hell's wrong with
At
you?
The time, I really thought that it would be okay. I thought that most of it would just come out of the face and the lips, and that very little of it would actually stay in there.
William says the current economy is driving people to inexpensive but dangerous do-it-yourself procedures. One of the most shocking is this Korean plastic surgery addict who was once a beautiful singer and model. She injected herself with cooking oil. The results were disastrous. Doctors removed a half pound of oil from her face and neck.
Oh, oh my God.
What the hell?
Gross.
I mean, that's a 5-minute piece that we have edited down to a minute, and the whole version is up on my Facebook page, or I think we'll get to it at Q100Atlanta.com. But the Korean woman that they're talking about there, she looks completely different. I mean, she was a good-looking singer, and she injected half a pound of cooking oil into her face. She doesn't even look human anymore.
There's just some things you don't need to get discounted. And I'm sorry, but plastic surgery or anything like that, you just... You gotta go.
Yeah, if you're going there, go there.
You
any
don't need
sort
to
of
go
surgery.
Deep
really.
Discount, right?
It doesn't
there,
have to
right?
be cosmetic if you need a tooth pulled, right?
Well, there was
if
a commercial get, yeah, a anything. Long time ago, and I forgot what it was for, but it was a guy that was sitting at his kitchen table, and he had a knife in his hand to his chest, and he was calling his surgeon asking how to do it. And it was a joke,
yeah. Right?
Because he couldn't afford, you know, talking about not being able, I guess, afford health care or something, but, you know, this woman, these women actually did that.
Yeah.
Stupid.
Crazy.
This is The Bert Show.